And that brings me to my sermon for today. And I want to introduce to you our theme for 2026, which is trusting God. It's a theme that will challenge all of us to have a deeper trust in God. Whatever the circumstances are in our life, if we are in a good stretch right now and our life is going good, you know, we can be thankful for that if that's our story right now. And we need to be reminded that we should trust God during the good times. If we're in a rough stretch right now and life is hard, certainly we need to be reminded to trust God because He is greater and He is stronger than any hardship we face. And I want you to notice from this banner that Mallory has designed, and we're going to have this banner out in our lobby in these weeks to come, and it will be there to remind us of the importance of trusting God. But I want you to notice on the banner the scripture, which is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. That happens to be my favorite passage in all of the Bible. And I want to encourage you to memorize this text as I have done from an early age, and maybe it will be a help to you like it has been a help to me. I want to read this passage to you. I'll quote it to you, actually. And then I want to share with you my personal story as to why this passage means so much to me and how it continues to be a source of strength to me, even in my present circumstance. The scripture is this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Now, if you have been here at Reinhardt for a while, you've probably heard me tell why this passage is so special to me. And so if you're new, though, this will be new to you. I tell this primarily for your sake and hope that if you're one who has heard this before, that you can still be encouraged by it. Now, I will tell you about a conversation that I had with my son-in-law, Luke, over the holidays. And Luke, if you've met him, he's a preacher in Indiana, and I show him my sermons. He shows me his sermons. We read each other's sermons. And he was saying, "Hey, I looked at your sermon. I'm excited about your theme for the new year." And I said, "Well, you know, this Sunday's sermon, I'm going to tell a story that I've told here before." And almost apologetically, I was saying, "You know, I've told this before." And he says, "Hey, I've heard it said from another preacher to his congregation, I have lived just one life. And that one life is what I have to draw from. And so from time to time, there will be stories that I tell more than once because they are meaningful to me. And really, they are benchmarks in my life." And that's the case for me today with the story that I will tell you. And that was so encouraging to me for Luke to say that. It gave to me a new perspective to be reminding me that I need not be apologetic for telling this to you. This is the story of my life and how God has helped me to be what He wants me to be. Now, for a moment, I want you to imagine that you are attempting to scale a climbing wall. This particular picture shows a very focused shot of the wall that you are climbing. In other words, it's it's more a shot of the here and now. You're just getting a small picture, a small portion of the wall. This is the here and now in what we are going through in our personal life. But this next picture is the bigger picture. It shows the wall from an expanded view. The wall itself is our life, and the top of the wall, we could say this, is heaven, which is our ultimate goal. Or we could say it this way, the top of the wall is maturity in Christ. And that is what we are aiming for. We want to be more like Jesus. It's not an easy climb for us to get to the top of the wall. But thankfully, we have a helper who is the Holy Spirit. And He will never leave us. And He will empower us to keep on going all the way to the top of the wall. And I want you to know too, there is one who has gone before us who has climbed this wall. And that is Jesus. He has climbed this wall and He has left a rope dangling down for us that we can grab a hold of it and that we can actually tie it around us. And when we fall, that rope hangs on to us. Now, I don't know about for you, but for me, that in my mind paints a beautiful picture of life and the climb that it is, the challenge that it is, the struggle that it is. But Jesus has gone before us. The Holy Spirit is with us. He's empowering us to climb the wall. And along the way are these wedges that are protruding out from the wall. And these wedges provide a place for us that we can grab hold of with our hand and pull ourselves up, or a place that we can put our foot on and lift ourselves up. And as I say that, by no means am I insinuating that we, in our own strength, climb the wall ourselves. No, we can't climb the wall ourselves. It's too challenging. It's too tall. And we're too weak. It's too hard for us to scale the wall on our own strength. We need Holy Spirit power. We need Jesus' power in us to help us get to the top of the wall. Each wedge protruding from the wall, in my mind, is one of two things. It's either a scripture that we can grab hold of and get strength from. Now, I mentioned to you in my sermon last week a scripture that has become very meaningful to me, Psalms 56:3. You remember it? When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. And as that scripture has become meaningful to me these last couple of years, it's like one of these wedges. I'm grabbing a hold of it, and it's helping me get a little further along in the climb towards maturity in Jesus Christ. And there are all kinds of scriptures like that that help us if we'll grab hold of them. Now, they can be either a scripture or they can be a benchmark of some kind. That benchmark can be either a good thing in our life or a hard thing. And I'm sure we can grow from the good things. And certainly we're thankful for those good stretches in our life when things are smooth and there's not a lot of worry in our life. We need to enjoy those times because we know that around the corner there's liable to be hardship waiting for us. That's the reality of life. And you know what I have found in my personal experience? that the greatest times of spiritual growth in my life have been very connected with hardship. Have you found that to be true in your life? Are you staying with me? The greatest times of growth in my life, maybe in yours too, is very connected with hardship. I look back and I find that the hardships have served as benchmarks for me. Or I could say the hardships have served as wedges on the climbing wall of life to help me get closer and closer to Jesus. And that's where Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 has played such a significant role in my life. The year was 1986. And Cindy and I had been married for 3 full years. And by this time in our marriage, she was really wanting a baby. And so we began to try and have a child, and we were praying for a baby, and it wasn't happening. And every month there was disappointment and heartache. And so that went on long enough that we began then to see an infertility doctor in Tulsa. And though we had not got very far along in that process, I could tell you that was a nightmarish experience for us. But it was a nightmarish experience for me. And I began to feel from the Lord, I felt strongly that this was from the Lord, that this was not the pathway that we were to be on. And I said to her, I said that, though I knew she wanted this baby so much, and this was the pathway that seemed would get us to that point, I said, I just don't think this is where we need to be. I'm feeling that from the Lord. And God bless her. She surrendered to that. She gave in to that and allowed me to lead us in this in a different direction. And really, it was just a direction away from the infertility doctor. I'm not kidding you. It was just a few weeks, and Cindy and I talked about this last week, and she agreed it was just a matter of a few weeks that there was a phone call to the church where I was working. The senior minister, Dave, who was my brother-in-law, took the phone call. On the other end of the line was Bill Hauser, his good friend from college. He was a minister in Iowa, and Bill asked him this question: Do you know of anyone that would be interested in adopting a baby? And Dave came to me with that offer, and I went home and talked with Cindy. Long story short, we announced to her family on Mother's Day of that year that we were going to adopt a baby. And it was, 8 weeks later, 2 months from Mother's Day, the middle of July, that we made the trip to Keokuk, Iowa to pick him up from the hospital. And we brought him home. He was 3 days old from the hospital. And life was good. Life was good. And God was gracious. And these were some of the wedges in life's climbing wall for Cindy and I. And these, This was one of those really good stretches that I've been speaking to you about. 4 months later, though, life. Was about to get complicated. On Jonathan's 4-month checkup, the doctor told us that he was detecting a heart murmur for our son that he had not heard before. And he said, I really think you should see a cardiologist, a pediatric cardiologist. So they got us an appointment to see that kind of a doctor in Tulsa. And of course, it was alarming for us. But I felt confident that all would be well. We were scheduled to see a pediatric cardiologist in Tulsa on December 9th. And I just knew everything was going to be fine. Heart murmurs are pretty common. I had a dozen people tell that to me as we were looking to this appointment. And I knew that's what the doctor would tell us, that this is just a common thing. He's okay. Your son's okay. But that's not what he told us. That first appointment, we seemed to be going from routine examination and testing to more detailed testing and examination. And they then said, we need you to go across the street to St. Francis Hospital, and there's going to be more testing there. And we still had no clue what was about to happen. And I will never forget the doctor coming into that room where we were at, and he sat down across from us. And he told us that our baby was about to die. His exact words were, he's on the fence right now, and I'm not sure which way he will fall. He informed us that Jonathan needed immediate attention and surgery. We were in shock. This couldn't be happening. And I said, well, I think we need to get a second opinion. That sounded like the right thing to say. And he looked directly at me and he said, you don't have time to get a second opinion. Come to find out, Jonathan was already into congestive heart failure. They checked him into the hospital pediatric ICU immediately. Cindy stayed with him that night. I went home, and I will tell you, I had one of the worst nights of my life and one of the most unforgettable nights. I laid on that bed tossing and turning and worrying and stressing and crying out to God in prayer for the life of our son. And sometime in the wee hours of that morning, the Lord gave me this passage, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I had memorized that passage as a kid, probably in church camp or vacation Bible school. And honestly, it really hadn't meant a whole lot to me until right then, that night. And all of a sudden, as the Holy Spirit brought that scripture to my mind, it was like a wedge for me to grab hold of. It became a stabilizing factor for me. And as I quoted that verse over and over and over again in my mind and spirit, the peace of God overwhelmed me like I had never experienced before. And from that point in my life, this passage has been a go-to passage for me. Every hardship that I have ever faced, every adversity that I have ever gone through, the Lord has reminded me to go to this passage and receive comfort and peace from it. Whether it was that moment or 3 days later when I had that baby in my arms and I gave him to the nurse to take him into surgery. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And I have hung on to that verse all through the years, of stressful parenting of teenagers, the stress of ministry. I've hung on to this verse. The stress of losing parents to death, I have hung on to this verse. The stress of losing a job, I have hung on to this verse. The stress of seeing one of my kids go through terrible hardship and I couldn't fix it for him. This was the verse that I hung on to. Even right now, in this present circumstance of the doctor saying, Kevin, you're in AFib. This truth, this passage of Scripture has been what I have hung on to. And it's helped me have not only something solid here, but something solid here to stand on and to be lifted up closer to Jesus. And again, emphasizing that this strength is from him. It's his ability. It's not my ability. It's not because I'm so strong. I'm not strong. I'm weak. But he can be strong in me. He has never abandoned me. He has never broken his promise to me. Trust in the Lord is how that passage starts. The word trust means to have bold confidence in, to hope in, to be sure of. And you notice that the object of our trust is the Lord. It's not us. It's not in ourselves. It's not in our own strength. It's in the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who holds the world in his hands, the one who hung the stars in their place, and he said to the sea, this far you can come and no further. Your proud ways must stop right here. That is the sovereign God that we put our trust in. And I'm thinking, if he can do all of that, then he can take care of me and what I'm going through in my life, and he can take care of you too and whatever it is that you're going through. We are to trust him with our whole heart. In other words, our whole being. Every ounce of our intellect and emotions and will, we place ourselves in his hands, knowing that he is able to help us, and he will do the right thing for us, and he will get us through. The old illustration of Charles Blondin, who was the first person to go across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. You've heard this illustration from me as well. The year was 1859, and for several days, crowds gathered to watch Blondin do his stunts over the Niagara Gorge. And this is a picture, a black and white picture of him. This, not only did he walk across the Niagara Gorge on a tightrope, he went across the falls on stilts on a tightrope. I mean, this guy was amazing. This guy was a sensation. He went across that rope across the Niagara Gorge in a gunny sack. He went across the Niagara Gorge on that tightrope blindfolded. He pushed a wheelbarrow across that rope in front of him across the gorge. One time his manager was on his back, a piggyback ride across the gorge on that rope. And you can imagine the crowd that gathered, and every time he would reach the other side, the crowd would go nuts cheering for him. And he said to the crowd, "How many of you believe that I can push a wheelbarrow across the falls with a person in the wheelbarrow?" And the crowd said, "Yes, we believe." And then he said, "Which one of you want to get in the wheelbarrow?" The crowd got quiet, deathly quiet. To trust God means to get into the wheelbarrow and know that He is going to get you to the other side of whatever it is that you're going through. He's going to get you there to the other side. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Is the next part of that verse. Have your full confidence in Him and lean not on your own understanding. If we're trying to have an answer to everything, if we're trying to have everything figured out as to why, then we're putting ourselves in a very precarious situation. We will not be able to have a satisfactory explanation for everything. Life has too many twists and turns to it. There are too many hardships. And if we're insisting on understanding everything that happens, then we are going to be severely disappointed. His ways and His thoughts are so much higher than our ways and thoughts. That's what Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9 says, that His ways and thoughts, they're just so much more higher than our ways and thoughts, and there's no way that we can figure God completely out. If we could figure Him out, He wouldn't be a very big God. But He is a big God. He is a big, big God. And so it's our duty to just trust Him, to hold on to Him for dear life, and to not let go of Him regardless of the circumstances. We're going to trust that He is going to get us through. We may not know the why, but we can keep our eyes on Him who has us securely in the palm of His hand. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. We sang about it this morning, that amidst the storm, I'm going to sing a hallelujah. That amidst the mystery, that which we can't really figure out, that which we don't have an answer to, I'm still going to sing a hallelujah. Whatever the circumstances that you are in, you acknowledge Him. Give glory to Him. Give Him the credit that He deserves. When things don't go according to your plan, know that He is still having you in His hand, and there are no better hands to be in than His hands. And He's going to get you to the other side. amidst the diagnosis from the doctor that you weren't expecting. Still, be determined to give glory to Him amidst the loss of a loved one. Acknowledge Him that He still is good, He still is faithful, and He has never abandoned you. I'll tell you what, if you have that kind of thinking, if you have that kind of mindset, and you're acknowledging God, you're giving praise to God amidst the hardships of life, the world will stop and listen to what you have to say because that is foreign to them. We're called to be different from the world. He's called us to be strangers to this world and to be citizens in heaven who have a different way of thinking and a different pattern of living. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. When times are good, acknowledge Him. When times are not so good, acknowledge Him. In times of prosperity or poverty, acknowledge Him. In times of sickness or in health, acknowledge Him. In times of smooth sailing or in times of troubled water, give Him the glory that He deserves, and He will what? Make your paths straight. We don't know what 2026 will hold for us. No one of us has any idea for sure what's around the corner in this year to come. But one thing we do know is that He holds the future and He's got us, and His promise is that if we will trust Him, if we will acknowledge Him, if we are not leaning on our own understanding, then He will make our path straight. He will work things out for our good. And that's the promise of Romans 8:28. You know what? This is another wedge for me. This is another wedge in the wall. As I've lived life and gone through trials, and I've grabbed hold of this promise. And you know, He has never broken His promise. He is able to take circumstances that are hard and seemingly disastrous for us, and if we will trust Him, if we will love Him, if we keep ourselves called according to His purpose, He will make beauty out of ashes. He'll work good from bad. We just have to do our part in loving Him and holding on to Him. So as a new year begins, and we don't know what the new year has in store for us, you know, honestly, I hope it's all good, don't you? I hope 2026 for each and every one of us is smooth sailing. That sounds good to me. If it is, praise the Lord. But if there's some troubled waters along the way, let's praise Him anyway. Let's determine to praise Him and to trust Him. And you know what the end result is going to be? We're going to get closer to Him in spiritual maturity. We'll be more like Jesus. And we'll be one step closer to heaven.